Okay, so today actually marks the day of our first anniversary, right? We've gone through every single month of Rosh Chodesh. It's amazing. And if you remember, in my little brief shiur, we always discuss another aspect of Rosh Chodesh. And we've gone through a lot of different messages and aspects of Rosh Chodesh. You know, we talked about sanctifying time, you know, creating a partnership with Hashem, the modesty of the moon, the ability to renew and refresh, a lot of things. And I thought now for the next year, what we'll do maybe is we'll take a little shift and we'll focus more on some of the various tefillot that are connected to Rosh Chodesh. So we have Birkat HaChodesh, Kiddush Levana, Hallel, Rosh Chodesh Torah reading, Musaf, Yalev Yavo. There's plenty of things. So I thought that would be a new challenge for us. So today we're going to discuss Birkat HaChodesh, which is also sometimes referred to as Rosh Chodesh benching. Okay, right? We have Shabbos Mevarchim, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh. We know before Musaf, there's the whole announcement of when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. And it's funny because this year actually closes kind of a circle for me. About like 23 years ago, let's say my age, I gave my first shiur. Okay, I was in high school, kind of shy, but I decided I wanted one day to be able to teach. So there was a Rosh Chodesh women's shiur in my shul, usually given by women in the shul, not by teenagers. But I asked them if I could give a shiur. And it was a Rosh Chodesh shiur, so I decided I'll do it on Birkat HaChodesh. So I got up there, I was so nervous. I got up, I think I said everything in about 15 minutes. I talk fast, but I talked even faster then. So I'm not sure anyone else got anything from it, but I did. Because for me, that was really a step that bolstered my confidence and helped me to bring me to where I am today. So unfortunately, I don't have the notes from that shiur. They're probably somewhere in a closet in New Jersey. So I don't remember exactly what I said. A few things I remember. But we're going to talk about exactly what is Birkat HaChodesh and what's its significance. Okay, a lot of people, even if they can't make it to shul on a regular basis, will try to be there for Shabbos Mevarchim. They want to be there. Sorry. Okay. We're safe? Okay. So they want to be there for that Birkat HaChodesh, for that announcement of when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. So what exactly is the significance of Birkat HaChodesh? Now, the idea of benching Chodesh is not actually mentioned in the Gemara. Okay, it's mentioned by some of the Rishonim, but it's not mentioned in the Gemara, and it's also not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. It is mentioned in a very, like, Derech Agav, by the way, kind of way in the Ramah, if you look in source number one. He's talking about Av HaRachamim, which we say before Musaf, and it says, V'gam ki noagin lomar Av HaRachamim. We have a minhag to say it. V'chol yom she'in umrim bo tzidkat certain days when it's there's a wedding, there's a bris mila, then we don't say Av HaRachamim. And there are some places that don't say Av HaRachamim on the day that they do Birkat HaChodesh. But it doesn't say anywhere that you have to actually do Birkat HaChodesh. It's just kind of assumed that there is this minhag, but it doesn't. We don't actually see it written up in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. Now, if you look in source number two, we do find it in some of the Rishonim, the Shibboleth Halakhot, right over there in source two. Why do we do this? What is the Birkat HaChodesh? Ma shemachrizin oto b'Shabbat shelofnei Rosh Chodesh, eino zecher l'kiddush HaChodesh. He said, there's no real deeper significance. It's not based on, you know, when the witnesses would come and testify when the new moon was. It's not based on that. Rather, elu lashmiya la'am shevita knesset yom kviyat haChodesh, kedei sheyuda lechol adam. Just so everybody will know when is Rosh Chodesh, right? The days that you miss it, sometimes we don't know what day Rosh Chodesh is. Even I got a little confused. I was like, one of my calendars said that Rosh Chodesh was only on Friday, and I was like, I'm pretty sure that we made it on that Thursday was Rosh Chodesh. And I was telling people that it's not actually on Rosh Chodesh. We moved it over. So the calendars sometimes lie too. So you have to be there for Birkat HaChodesh, so you know. So that's why we say it on Shabbos. And he says, Lefisha b'yemot ha'chol, pamim b'nei adam trudin b'mlachtan, v'ein ba'in l'bei knesset. There are some people who don't make it to shul every single day. And therefore, when's the best time to announce it? The Shabbos, okay? That's when most people are there. It's a very technical reason for Birkat HaChodesh, so everybody will know when Rosh Chodesh is. Okay, I also saw written somewhere that there's an idea of Shabbos, you know, the Kedusha of Shabbos will now kind of spill over into Rosh Chodesh, and also we begin to kind of get into the mood of that month already from that Shabbos, so that's another reason to do it on Shabbos. But either way, it's really a very technical thing, just so we can announce when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Now, the Magen Avraham says, source number three, he agrees that yes, the main reason is in order that we'll know when Rosh Chodesh is, but he also says, starting from the middle of the second line, Ne'egu la'mod v'shat amirat Rosh Chodesh. There's a minhag to stand when we do the Birkat HaChodesh. Why? Dugmat kiddush HaChodesh haya me'umad. Because it is based on the kiddush HaChodesh. When the witnesses would come to testify that they saw the new moon, then they would stand, or people would stand. And therefore, since we are kind of reenacting the kiddush HaChodesh, so we also stand. Now, if you look in source number four, Igros Moshe, he quotes Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who basically asked, I don't know if we have time to go the whole thing inside, but he basically says, this doesn't make any sense, because we actually have a explicit Gemara that says that when the witnesses would come, the Beis Din actually had to be sitting down, not standing up. So he says, what in the world is the Magen Avraham talking about? Right? He says we have to dafka stand because we're trying to reenact what happened at the Kiddush HaChodesh, but actually we know that the Beis Din had to sit. So there's a lot of different answers that are given. Rav Moshe brings basically the idea that, yes, the Beis Din had to sit, but if you skip down to the end, he says, "Shemitchila omer Rosh Beis Din Mekudash." First, after the witnesses would come, the Rosh Beis Din would have to get up and say, Mekudash, okay, we accept this testimony. V'achar kach onim gam kol ha'am, Mekudash, Mekudash. And then the rest of the nation had to say, Mekudash, Mekudash. The month was not actually sanctified until the whole nation would get up and say, Mekudash, Mekudash. And he says, V'vadai ha'am shenimsa sham lo yashvu ela amdu. It must have been that the people, yes, the Beis Din were sitting, but the people themselves were standing. And so, therefore, we are now, when we're reenacting it, what part do we play in this little skit? We're the people, okay? And therefore, we all need to stand in order to play our part in the being Mekadesh L'Chodesh. Okay, now if you look at the, okay, and actually if you think about the actual ceremony of the Kiddush HaChodesh, we see, or Birkat HaChodesh, we see that there are a lot of things that we do to in order to reenact the Kiddush HaChodesh. For example, what? Where do we do it? Do we do it at home? No, when do we do it? We do it b'tzibur, right? It has to be with all of the people. And we said before, we stand. Okay, but also, the whole congregation has to repeat after the chazan, right? We all have to also say when it's going to be. So why do we do that? Because again, we are taking an active role in being Mekadesh L'Chodesh. Also, there are some places where the rabbi specifically give, first of all, we say we have this idea that someone gets up and says when the molad is going to be. What's the molad? The molad is the exact time, exact second, when is the first sliver of the moon going to be seen? Why do they have to say it? Because again, we're trying to reenact this idea of now we saw the witnesses come and they saw the new moon. And a lot of times this is an honor given to the rabbi. And it's he's brought along sometimes with two other people so that there's a Beis Din in there. So we do a lot of things to sort of show that yes, technically this is not the Kiddush HaChodesh, but, and really we do it so that we'll know when Rosh Chodesh is, but we're kind of remembering and reenacting what was, and we hope one day will be again. Now, the actual tefillah, right, before we get to announcing exactly when Rosh Chodesh is, we'll look at it next time, I think, but the actual tefillah, where we say we want to have a good month and a healthy month and a month of you know, Yirat Shamayim and all the things, these amazing requests that we're asking for, is actually found in the Gemara. But if you look in source number five, the context is not at all to do with Rosh Chodesh. There it just says, Rav Batar Tzlute Amar Hachi. So Rav used to say, it's going through a bunch of different rabbis, what tefillah, personal tefillah did they say every day? And Rav had his own personal tefillah that he would say every day, which was basically, if you look at it, pretty much the same words that we say as part of our Birkat HaChodesh, but it wasn't connected to the month at all. So we kind of like just grabbed that tefillah and stuck it onto Rosh Chodesh. And the Aruch HaShulchan asks a question. He says, this doesn't make any sense, right? He says, we have this concept that we're not allowed to ask for requests on Shabbos. Okay, and he says, what are we doing? We can't do this. How can we get up there and start making all these requests? We can't do that on Shabbos. And he actually says that if he had his way, he would be mevatel this entire minhag. And there are actually some communities that don't say it. So how do we answer that? So Rav Chaim Berlin and Mishnas Chaim actually suggest that the reason that we're not allowed to make personal requests is because what will happen? We're going to start thinking about all of our problems. We're asking for good health, and we're thinking about all the terrible things that are happening in our family, this one and that one, and we're going to start crying, and it's not appropriate for Shabbos. But if he's saying, if it's a set text that we all say together, B'tzibor, and it's not our own personal thing that we're crying out about, so that's okay. Not everybody agrees to this, but that is the reason why we have certain tefillos that we do say, Yikup Porkan, for example, other tefillos that we say, which really do have requests in them. Now, I think that what we can also say, though, is that if this practice is like a reenactment of the Kiddush HaChodesh, then that's a lot different than just an announcement. What's an announcement? If it was just an announcement, so we're very passive. Someone comes and tells us Rosh Chodesh is going to be this day. But when we are this is much more proactive. We're getting there, and we're going to be Mekadosh the Chodesh, and we're an active part of it, right? We said we stand up because we're saying Mekudosh, Mekudosh. We are part of this Kiddush HaChodesh, so we're not going to shul just to hear when Rosh Chodesh is going to be, and we're not only going to shul just to be the recipient of this bracha. We have to go because we want to get all these brachas that we're going to talk about. No, we're actually an active partner. We talked about this in other times when we talked about this active partnership with Hashem. And this a message of that we don't just travel through time, but we are actually a partner in sanctifying that time. So I think maybe we can also say that this is not just a list of requests, but it's actually kind of like a reminder to ourselves. We're not just asking for a month of blessing. We're giving a mandate to ourselves that we want to make sure that we have a month of blessing. Okay, so we want to make sure that we're going to put into our own effort to make sure that it's going to be a month of Yirat Shamayim. It's going to be a month of positivity, of action. We have to put something into it also. Yes, we're asking for a bracha from Hashem, but we're also a partner in it, and we have to make that happen. And obviously some of the things on the list, we don't have control over the health and the parnasa, but we do have control over the having the right mindset and making the most of the situations that we're in and using them to grow and to connect to Hashem. And so therefore, this could possibly answer, if we view it that way, so it's not only requests that we're making to Hashem, which maybe could be problematic on Shabbos, but it's really also a message to ourselves to get up and say, wait, everybody, there's a new month. Okay, what are we gonna do with that new month? Where's it gonna go? How can we make this into a month of blessing?